The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
And good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning will be Hannah Plummer, who is the Director of Patient Services from our New York City office. I'm all by myself in the studio, well, except for Dan, who has the biggest smile on his face after the way the Mets have been playing. But anyway, my wife, Ann, was unable to join us this morning, and I certainly miss her. It's very unusual being in the studio all by myself. But as I said, we will have a call-in that will be talking to us, Hannah Plummer, who is the Director of Patient Services in the New York City office. And we have a very good topic. We're going to be talking about nursing and then also about home care IV infusion therapy that's available for home care individuals that are admitted to home care and may need those particular services. Okay, A&T Healthcare, I always like to explain a little bit about A&T Healthcare, but we're a home healthcare agency with offices in Newburg, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City. And as I said, we'll be joined with Hannah Plummer, who is the Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare in our New York City office on Madison Avenue. Okay, we are at A&T Healthcare. We're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. I always say, We're not controversial, contentious, or confrontational, but we are engaging, informative, and I want to say we're entertaining because we are bringing entertaining information. I know it's health. I don't want it to be boring or too technical, but there are certain things that you can pull from and learn. And as I always joke, so often on many of these shows, I actually learn something about it. So again, you're always learning throughout your life. We do accept any questions on the topic that we are presenting. And the number that you can call in is 845-651-1110. And as always, as I said again, thank us for letting us be a part of your Thursday mornings. Okay, let's go over the quick stuff. Facebook, the numbers just keep rising, and we're very happy about it. One of the important things to know is that when you're following A&T Healthcare, you find out any of the information. We post things about how we're very involved in the community. And this is also part of how we're involved in the community. We're rendering a service to the residents of Orange County, talking on specific topics as it relates to home care or different diagnoses or really pretty much in the healthcare profession, okay? But as I said, we are a home healthcare agency. The one thing that we do have, and it took a long time, but it's been up and running for several weeks now, is that you do hear recorded broadcasts, okay? We have this particular show. We will have a recording of it. It will be on our website. We just go to, we'll have a little blog on what the subject is. And as I said, so often with home care is that people don't plan on it, okay? It's not like you're planning a vacation or something like that, but the idea is sometimes you may need these particular services, and it's always good that you have like some understanding of it. Although I guess people are tired of hearing, I'm having a knee surgery at the beginning of the year in January, and I already am all set to book my home care agency, and hint, 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 I'm a very close association with it at A&T Healthcare. But as I said, the other thing I want to talk about, you can see this on our website, and I know Taylor had posted it on Dancing with the Stars. No, it's not the one that's going to be broadcast on ABC News. It will be the one that will be for the Rockland County United Hospice. Okay, I'm one of the dancers. I've been working with a professional dancer, Julia, who I always say has the patient of a saint, but it's been like a long road. It's been over 3 months. I've been taking lessons on a regular basis, and again, it's a wonderful cause. If you go to their website, you can even see it on our website, United Hospice. You can find out how you can vote for the dancers. And again, I'd ask you to vote for me. If you don't vote for me, you can vote for someone else. But it really is for a very good cause. And I'm just very happy to be able to participate in it. I just want to make sure that, there's going to be a lot of people there, so I really just have to get used to it. That's all part of the excitement for doing something, just like the excitement I get doing the radio show in the morning. Dan, I believe we have a caller on the line.
Yes, good morning, Peter.
Oh, Hanif, hi. Thank you so much. Hanif, I know you have a very busy schedule. Thank you so much. I gave you a little preview. We have on the line Hanif Plummer. He is the Director of Patient Services in our New York City office, and that's a real busy place that you have there, Hanif, right?
Yes, it is. Good morning, everyone.
Okay. Hanif, before we get started, could you tell our listening audience at WTBQ, tell us something about yourself and how you got involved in nursing, and then I thought maybe you and I could talk about how did we wind up in this particular place. Go ahead, Hanif.
Okay. Well, I worked in the hospital as a technician, drawing blood and also on the IV team as an IV technician. And then I went into nursing after that.
Oh.
That's how I got involved in nursing.
Oh, okay.
First as a technician, and then went back to nursing school, and then that's how I got into nursing.
You know, one of the things, Hanif, is that, and I think everyone's acutely aware of this, is that nursing is predominantly a female profession.
Yes.
And you kind of segued into it that you were a tech where you're drawing blood, and then wait, you wanted to take it to the next level and doing the IV therapy, and
right.
As such, you were you went to nursing school as far as doing it, okay?
Yes, right. I did. And then I still do IVs today in the home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah, and that's what our major topic is today, Hanif. We're going to be talking about that. Let me just share very briefly with myself how I wound up in nursing. I was originally a microbiologist, and again, there is a lot of connection with infectious disease and microbiology. And one of the things about being a microbiologist working in the lab, I'm not telling anyone to discourage anyone for pursuing it. But one of the things when you work in a lab is that you work in the lab. That's it. You're just there. And I was in the microbiology lab, and there were four people, and that's all I saw from 9 a.m. till 5 o'clock. And that was it. There was very little interaction. It was very exciting, and I enjoyed it very much, but there was no interaction with people. And I always thought that, gee, that would be interesting with nursing. And I even had a clue as far as I worked very closely with the infection control nurse and the infectious disease doctor, because they were always down in infection control, the microbiology lab. And I said, you know, that might be a cool thing to do. So what I did is I went on to pursue nursing. I got my nursing degree. And then I was very fortunate that I was able to combine the two fields. And I did infection control, and I always say that's the story. I did work with Dr. Tom Fried, and he is the director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And what he we worked with him when I was at St. Clair's Hospital, which is gone now in New York City. That was half of the hospital was a dedicated AIDS hospital, and there was a tremendous number of patients who had tuberculosis. And I'd worked with him. He was in charge of that originally, Dr. Tom Fried, and he was in charge of the tuberculosis control. And then he eventually became the commissioner of New York State. And now he's down in Atlanta at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And I just remember that I also worked in infection control at Montreal Medical Center, and that was a teaching hospital. And I always say this, Hanif, I don't know the hospitals that you had worked in, but when you're in a teaching hospital, that's really where you learn so much, okay, because they're teaching the residents that are just starting out. They've graduated from medical school, and now they're doing their residency. And I know it was a wonderful experience that I had. And I did enjoy it. Another advantage about going into nursing, I'm really kind of promoting it, is that, you know, it's very diverse, okay? There are many different fields. Now, Hanif, did you do anything else besides IV therapy?
Yes. Well, we did patient teaching, you know, like a new diabetic, mm-hmm. how to give themselves an injection.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's other injections that we taught patients how to give themselves, like a medication called Lovenox, mm-hmm. which is a low molecular weight heparin,
mm-hmm.
For patients that had surgery and to prevent blood clots,
mm-hmm.
in the legs.
Right. Yeah, I know about blood clots, unfortunately, and that's very serious. You know, that's one of the things, you know, that can cause a life-threatening situation, and it's very important you're able to detect it beforehand, as far as, you know, If there is some concern, you know, you have to really report it to, you know, a nurse or something just to make that kind of assessment. But it can be very, very dangerous. I know one of the things that I always say is that there really is a shortage of nurses, okay? And one of the big shortages is they don't have the teachers to teach the course. And I always say there is very good, like, employment opportunities being a registered nurse or, you know, even home care. That's been expanding so much that is available. It is a hard curriculum, and I've always stressed this, Hannah, you know, throughout the thing, even like talking with someone becoming a home health care aide, is that, you know, it takes a certain purpose. You can't say, gee, I want to go into nursing because, you know what, I need a job, and this way I know when I graduate, I'm going to have a job and I'll be working. The problem is it takes a certain kind of person, Hannah. Can you agree with me on that?
I agree, and it takes dedication also. You have to be dedicated in what you're doing.
No, that's absolutely true. And I know a lot of times there's a lot, as I said, it's very diverse. You know, some of it is like 24/7. If you're having like, you know, bedside nursing in a hospital or nursing home, that's something that's going on 24/7. But there are some, and I remember infection control was one of them. You know, it really was like 9 to 5. And then, you know, without the weekends, but again, there was always that component that you'd have to be on call if there was something that was happening.
Also, we have patients that come home that also needed like wound care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started off in the hospital and then they could recuperate at home instead of being in a facility.
Oh, and that's all the stuff that we're going to be talking about. I know that it's a difficult curriculum. I don't know how you thought it was, Hannah, but it was a lot. It's not as bad as the doctor. I always remember they said, "Oh, well, if you want to go to medical school, doctor, they have to know all 210 bones in the human body." I hope
right.
I'm correct. Am I correct on that 210 bones? it's on or about 210 bones. I'm not sure the precise number, but that's something that, you know, it's not really that difficult, but it is something that, you know, there is like a lot of, you know, clinical work that's done and, you know, a lot of stuff with the biology.
Yeah, it was rigorous. A lot of, you had to do a lot of biology that mm-hmm. was involved. And also critical thinking.
Yes, yes, and that's something you learn as you go along. Like, you know, that's something that's hopefully you'll pick up as years go on, and that's always part of having the experience, being able to do something. But the idea is, someone says, "Oh, I'm very good in math and biology, or I'll be good for nursing." There does have that other kind of component that is involved. But as I said, I really. I am promoting it. It's a wonderful field to go into. If you like to help someone or what have you, it would be a very good profession. And I always encourage you. And I know Hanif and I have been doing it for men. How long have you been doing it, Hanif?
This year, 19 years.
Oh wow, 19! I think 19. I have you beat, though. I think I have you beat, Hanif. Okay.
Thank you.
Although I'm much older than you, so that also helps. Okay. Well, when we come back, we'll continue talking to Hanif. You listen to Health. Health Matters, and we will be talking about home care IV infusion therapy.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Alan Fernandez. Join me at the Jazz Getaway with Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and Duke Ellington and more every Sunday at 7 p.m. on WTBQ.
God has the answer to every single problem in your life. Spiritual Healing Radio will help you to find those answers. Join us on Sunday nights from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Ask God if you should tune in. God will tell you.
WTBQ. And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me on the phone is Hannah Plummer, who is the Director of Patient Services at the New York City office. Hannah, by the way, the commercial for A&T, that's from Tom Babington. He's one of the vice presidents of A&T Healthcare. We did not hire a professional. They're probably thinking, boy, A&T must have some budget. They're hiring a professional to do their commercials. But no, it's not at all. It's Tom Babington. But I said, Tom, you got a backup career down the road if you ever want to do it and stuff like that. And there you have a lot of flexibilities with the hours. You just go and you tape something. When you're done, you're done. This is Health Matters, and we're talking about infusion therapy in the home care setting. Okay,
right.
This is something we've been invested. We do accept any calls that you may have or any questions. The phone number that you can reach us on is 845-651-11. Oh boy, I always have. Why do I have trouble? 1110. See, this Ann would correct me at this time. This is why I miss Ann, my wife, because she said, Peter, you always get the numbers wrong. And then she, but it's 651. The call number is 1110. Okay, and that's WTBQ. Hanif, let's talk a little bit about one of the things about a home care infusion is that it's something that has really. It's a major component of home health care. It's a major component of home health care because they want to see that a patient is able to receive these services in the home care setting as opposed to in the hospital, okay? The home care setting, and it's well accepted. It's very common. There's a cost saving. There's, of course, the decreased length of stay in the hospital. And of course, it's what I always say about home, being in the home, is that the care of the patient, you're surrounded by your family and caregivers, and there is a lower risk of infection. Remember, that's my specialty, Hanif, infection control. And as Hanif will attest to, is that every day you stay in the hospital, that day increases your risk of having a infection, a hospital-acquired infection. I don't know if they're still calling it nosocomial. But some of the particular therapies that are received frequently in the home setting are antibiotic therapy. There can be chemotherapy, total parental nutrition. That's TPN. That's where you get all the nutrients vis-a-vis the IV infusion. Rehydration, which is very simple. And then, of course, is the pain management. We have a lot of different diagnoses. They include like cellulitis, sepsis, osteomyelitis, urinary tract infection. There's a multitude of diseases where it would be indicated to receive this kind of therapy in the home setting. I know one of the things that is very important, I know with home care, and this is part of the thing when you're in your home, is that you want to feel that you have control over your life, that you know what you want and you're able to do something. I usually know with pain management, and Hannah, if you can tell any of your experience with this, is that I know they would have a... if someone was receiving pain, that the old days it used to be that if you had a Demerol or some other kind of pain medication, it would be like every 2 hours, and you'd have to like set the clock, and there's always this anxiety. Gee, what if the nurse is busy and I don't get it in 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours? There was always that concern. Now they have it set up where you can self-administer your pain medication. However, because it's on the infusion pump, it only delivers a precise amount. So if you hit it 3 times, you're only going to get the one delivered per 10 minutes or however it's calibrated to be administered. You'll never get more of it, but you know whenever you're ready to have it, you just hit it and you'll be able to get it. And that usually like relieves a lot of the anxiety that patients may have if they have some kind of pain. And you know how stressful that is. Hanif, why don't we start right here? Let's go over briefly, as I said, these are all things that will always come back to you, but could you tell us the different types of IV catheters that are available?
Okay, well, you have the peripheral IV catheter that, a regular nurse would start in the hand or the arm.
And that, that's the most common one. That's the one that usually everyone gets at one time if they wind up in the ER or if they're admitted into a hospital. But, okay, go ahead.
Then you may have one called a midline. You don't see that very often. It's in between a peripheral and a central line, a midline catheter. A nurse can also put that one in.
And what's the difference?
One that's more common than that called a PICC line.
Okay, so just explain the difference, Hannes, as far as like the peripheral line. I think everyone is very versed with that. You know, it's in your hand or in your forearm. You're just getting it. Now, the midline peripheral catheter, I mean, that sounds a little bit more uncertain like the PICC line, but could you go on a little more of the details as to why you would get one over the other?
Well, for the peripheral line, that would be for short-term therapy. In my experience now, is usually you go in, you put the line in, and you administer the medication, and then you take it out. In the past, about 10 years ago or more, that PICC line, that peripheral line would stay in for a longer period of time, but you had to go in and change that line, say, at least every 3 days, you'd have to go and change the line for the patient. And that sometimes is the patient's choice if they wanted that kind of line as compared to a permanent line like a PICC line. So the patient had some choice over what kind of line they would be getting after discussing that with their doctor.
Okay. And now those, like a central, what about like a central venous catheter?
Like a central catheter, that's usually like in the chest, sometimes in the neck. In the hospital setting, they have it there, but in the home care setting, most likely is in the chest, the one called a Hickman or a Broviac.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the names of those. And that's usually for the TPN that you mentioned.
Okay.
They would get that through that kind of line. Or chemotherapy.
Okay.
That's more caustic. Caustic meaning it burns.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you wouldn't put that in a peripheral line.
Okay. What about for a patient who's on dialysis?
Patient on dialysis, well, that's a little different story there. They would have what they call a shunt.
Okay.
Put in.
Oh, boy, that's another one. Okay.
Yeah, that's a shunt. But they usually don't do that at home. Hemodialysis, they don't do that at home. They do that at a center, but they would have that line put in called a shunt.
Okay. I think what you're just like simplifying it is that, you know, the idea is that with the peripheral line, when they insert it in your hand or in your forearm, that can't stay in there for, I believe, is it 48? I think it's 72 hours.
Three days. If you have a patient today that's getting a peripheral line and the antibiotic is for like 5 or 7 days, they may allow it to stay in for the 5-7 days because if the patient have poor veins.
Okay, yeah.
But the doctor's permission.
Right, yeah, they have to have the doctor's permission because I know CDC sets a lot of these guidelines, these standards. These are my days of infection control where you're able to see, you know, how long it should be in. But now if you're in for like 2 weeks, I mean, you'd have to remove it.
Right.
And find another site to put it in, and part of what it is with the IV catheters is that it's in one place, and you just go back to the same site each time, and you don't go through you know, that particular, you know, discomfort, you know, that may happen as far as like getting, you know, the injections at different times.
Right.
It also is important, Hanif, is that you know, being aware of, you know, if you do have any of these, to know the signs, if there may be some kind of infection that is present. That's a very important thing to be concerned about. What are some of the signs or symptoms that, you know, a patient may be having, that the catheter may be coming infected or there may be some problems with it? Clearly,
yeah,
if it's not infusing properly, but tell me more on that.
So if they notice, like, redness or, you know, some redness in the area, swelling, and warmth, you know, if it's very warm as compared to the rest of the body,
mm-hmm.
that could mean a sign of infection in that site.
You know, one of the things that, and as I said before, Hanif, I've been in nursing longer than you have,
mm-hmm.
But I've seen a lot of the transitions that had happened. I remember the old days when they used to start a peripheral line, and that's something that we're all very familiar with if you've ever been admitted into a hospital or a loved one. And they used to put it, and then they have all the gauze pads, and they'd wrap that boy up and all the tape, and it was covered to beat the band. And those signs that you were talking about, like the redness and the warm, a lot of times you would not be able to detect it. But now they have the clear...
transparent dressing.
That's
yes.
it. Clear, transparent. And that's one of the exciting things about like nursing, about the technologies, that you're always looking to improve it. But now when you have like the transparent, you can see like the early signs of it, that wait a second, something's going on. You really have to be careful with that, because as you can see, the particular site, if it becomes infected, where is it located? It's located in your bloodstream. And what happens when it's in the bloodstream, it goes throughout the entire body. I know that even... when we talk about, like, you know, if you have a cold, we talked about sepsis. Well, what is sepsis? Let me give that, particular definition for sepsis. And sepsis is an infection in the blood.
Right.
In the blood. And where are the sources where you would get an infection in the blood? Well, if you had a urinary tract infection, okay, this is a urinary tract infection, and you leave it untreated, and it becomes they can then come into your blood, okay? And that was one of the big arguments about, having, I don't want to digress and start talking about universal health coverage, but that's one of the problems, that someone may have a simple urinary tract infection. They don't have money to go to the doctor, don't have money for antibiotics, so they don't see the doctor. And the next thing you know, it becomes inflamed. Guess what? It turns into sepsis, and then it's a hospitalization, all the IV therapy and stuff like that becomes like very involved. But that's just an example. Even if you had a pneumonia, if it was a bacterial pneumonia, started in the lungs, and when it got too intense, it then would go into the bloodstream. And that's why I'm saying that's a very serious thing. It can be a life-threatening situation. And that's why it's particularly important about the monitoring of any of the IV lines, because where the location of it is. That's all the things that you have to remember about it. One of the things that we were talking about is that, it is important, as I said, that the patient does have, control, that they are able to go in their home setting. And those are things that are very important to people. And that's where home care comes in. You're listening to Health Matters. And my name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And when we come back, we will start talking about what exactly is infusion therapy.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Lynn Allen Cione. I'm the president and CEO of the Orange County Chamber of Commerce. Join us every Friday at 12 noon when we will highlight Orange County Chamber's events and business right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
This is Sister Anna. Listen to The Garden of the Child, a story discussion time with students. Story develops listening skills and imagination. Saturdays at 11:10 a.m. on WTBQ.
WTBQ Weather.
Cooler weather is on the way, but we will have showers and thunderstorms today, some heavier downpours, and our highs into the upper 70s to near 80. Tonight, scattered showers will taper off after midnight, getting down to around 60. Tomorrow, look for partly cloudy to cloudy conditions. We might see a scattered shower linger with a high in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy, cooler tomorrow night in the mid-50s, and partly sunny on Saturday with a high in the middle 70s. This is meteorologist Tony Salimo from the WTBQ Weather Center. WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter, and that's what we're all talking about. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, I miss my wife, Ann, very much. Although I did see her this morning, but this is the first time I'm doing a solo in the studio. So it's a little awkward because I always know if I slip up, Ann's always there to slide me in the right direction. But anyway, the show must go on, as the saying goes. But joining us this morning is Hanif Plummer. He is the Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare out of our New York City office. Hanifer, you're on the line still.
I'm on the line, Peter.
Oh, I love technology. I really love it so much. It's just that when it doesn't work, that's when you're not much of a fan of it. Hanif, before we start talking about what exactly infusion therapy is, I just wanted to go over with our listening audience at WTBQ, what is an infusion pump? Okay, now let me just, I'll go over the definition, but it's an external infusion pump is a medical device that's used to deliver fluids into the patient's body in a controlled manner. Okay, so that's the operative word. It's in a controlled manner. There are many different types of pumps that are used in a variety of purposes and in different environments. Okay, infusion pumps are capable of delivering fluids in large or small amounts, and may be used to deliver nutrients or medications such as insulin or other hormones, antibiotics, chemotherapy drugs, and pain relievers, okay? So they are primarily designed, they're stationary, that they should be at the patient's bedside, and they're also called, there are some like ambulatory ones, which I'm not really too familiar with, where you are portable and you'll be able to wear. Now, one of the things that always comes up, we talked about antibiotics, and everyone always thinks about antibiotics. And she say, well, gee, when would it be indicated to use IV infusion? And one of the first criterias is that if a oral antibiotics or oral medication is not working, okay? So why? What's the advantage? Hanif, did you want to talk about, what is the advantage of taking IV therapy versus an oral antibiotics?
Well, it gets into the system quicker. Mm-hmm. Because the oral medication has to go through the stomach and then gets and passed through the intestine and then absorbed by the body. But it goes through, when you do an IV therapy, it goes directly into the bloodstream. So it's a quicker delivery of the medication.
Wow. And there's a lot of things we always talk about, that even when a patient has the oral medication, one of the antibiotics is that you have to make sure that a lot of times you shouldn't have it with milk or milk products,
right?
Because that will impede the absorption of the antibiotic. And even when the time of it is given, that those are, it's over a long range, and that's why sometimes it may, with the absorption and different factors that play into it. But what you said, Hanif, and I'm just repeating what you said, is that it does get absorbed into the system. Now, you have to remember this, okay? There has to be an indication. You always start at the lowest point, okay? The starting point. You always start with the oral medication first, okay? And then if it's not working and everything is consistent as far as, if it's an antibiotic, remember I was a microbiologist, and one of the things is that one of your job as a microbiologist is that you'd identify the organism that's present. Is it an E. coli? Is it a Staph aureus? Is it a MRSA, which is a methicillin-resistant Staph aureus? We would identify it, but then more importantly, we would tell the physician what antibiotics work. And a lot of times they'd have to do something empirically because there's an extended period of time before you get the results. It's not something, you take a test, you put it, ampicillin will work or amoxicillin will work. You don't always have that luxury, so they may have to do something, start the medication immediately, and then therefore they would be able to confirm whether that's the right drug or whether or not they would have to change the medication. And one of the things that I always stress about medication, we're talking about the end, I have to throw this in, but when you're prescribed an antibiotic, you always take it as soon as you can. And if it's for 12 hours, and let's say you get home at 4 o'clock,
You don't say, oh, gee, if I take it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll have to take it at 4 o'clock in the morning. Talk to your doctor. You can take it at 4 o'clock, and then you can start again at 10 o'clock. Or he may say you can take another dose at 10. But that's something you'd have to consult with your doctor. And that's always important as far as making sure that you're doing well. All right, so, Hanif, tell us, what is infusion therapy?
So infusion therapy is delivery of medication for certain conditions. And it depends, you know, like you mentioned before, if a patient has an infection, they would get like an antibiotic. If it's cancer, then they would get chemotherapy. We have some patients that also have a low immune system, and they get what's called IVIG, mm-hmm. or immune globulin infusions. And also, we also do some what we call enzyme replacement therapy.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Now, one of the things, Hanif, that we were talking about is that the small amount, or sometimes these molecules are a little bit bigger. I know even with TPN, a total parental nutrition, you can't put that in a regular needle catheter,
no,
correct?
No. Yes. So that's why that one, they would use that with a central line.
Okay.
And one is the TPN that we mentioned. You know, sometimes it has a lot of sugar in that, and also fats, and those are too big for a small peripheral catheter. You would need a large vein for it to go in, and that's why they would use a central vein for that, or a central line. And also, there's a high chance of infection, mm-hmm. these kind of medications.
I know so often, Hanif, we talk about it, but home care infusion, IV infusion therapy is used many times to treat a chronic disease. And I always reinforce it with our listening audience. What is a chronic disease? A lot of times you hear these words, but what a chronic disease is one that you is a long-lasting disease that you cannot cure, but you can control. And, of course, the ones that we always hear about is, of course, like hypertension, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, even HIV. But those are diseases that you have for a long period of time. You control it, but you do not cure it. And infusion therapy is actually a very big component of that particular treatment that may be necessary. Even with pain, I know with are there anything, like I know with shingles and stuff, I know that there is a vaccine that's out on shingles.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that, I know that was very, I remember my poor mother had it, and I always said, well, if they come up with the vaccine, I'm going to be the first one in line to get it, because she suffered so much, and she did have all like the medications and stuff like that. But the idea is that was something that was utilized, and a lot of times I didn't see much success from, to be perfectly frank with you. A lot of times it really just had to run its actual course, as far as whether or not it would be the pain would subside in any such way. Now, Hanif, can you tell us something like let's talk a little bit about like some of the diseases that are treated for infusion therapy.
Okay, so like we mentioned before, there are different types of infections that a patient may have. Sinusitis, that used to be a big one. Endocarditis used to be a big one.
Okay, may I talk a little bit about endocarditis? Okay,
sure.
Sounds like it's a big word, and sometimes I forget. I'm talking to another nurse. See, this is where Ann would have kicked me, she would have like said, well, Peter, let's explain this. But endocarditis, what exactly is that? That's an inflammation of the heart valve, okay? It's with the bacteria. Now, remember I said I was a microbiologist. That is one of the most daunting diseases to diagnose, because what happens is that you have to get blood cultures, and what happens is it's sporadically where it would emit like the organism that is causing it. Unlike if you had a urinary tract infection that I talked about earlier that became a sepsis, okay, that would be in your blood at all times. So whenever you did a blood culture, it would be there. But what that included is you'd have to take like three sets of blood cultures and determine at what point, because it would come at different times, and then they would determine whether or not the organism was present. And a lot of times the organism that was causing it would be like a staph epidermidis, those like normal flores that everyone has on their body, but they would have to make that determination that, yes, it was in fact part of what was causing the inflammation. Now, well, my knowledge, and I remember this, okay, my knowledge was that When you had endocarditis, okay, the plan, unless they've improved on the medication, but it used to be anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks where you'd have to be receiving IV therapy. Is that correct, or
That seems to be on the right track, yes.
Yeah, and so that is a long period of time. So why would you want, and as I said, you'd just be receiving antibiotics, so it's not even that you'd have the IV in your line at all times, is that you'd have it at different times during the day, whether it's twice a day or three times a day, and you can just see the scenario how it would be much more beneficial as well as safer for you to be in your home to be receiving this kind of medication as opposed to being in a hospital. Remember what I said earlier? Now, there's going to be a quiz after the show. I feel like I'm talking like a teacher. But the idea is that I said the longer you are in a hospital, each day increases your risk of developing an infection. It increases your risk of developing an infection because people are going to be coming and going. The things that, a lot of things that are happening, you're around people that are always sick. So there's always that greater risk. Look at that as opposed to being in your home where you see your family members, you just, you can walk around. As I said, something like that, you would just have it. But endocarditis is one of the major, illnesses that they do look to have, home therapy just because of the extended period of time that's necessary, as well as, obviously, the cost, but then more importantly, as far as, how it is with the cost and even as far as, how the treatment is. I just wanted to talk very briefly is about, the genesis. I always like to talk about what was the genesis of something. I'm not talking about the Phil Collins group. I know people say, oh, you're going to play Phil Collins song. But what it is that where it began, and what it is that until the 1980s, patient receiving infusion therapy had to remain as an inpatient setting for the whole duration of the therapy. And I knew that as a microbiologist, is that, you'd have to be in the hospital for that period of time. So there was a heightened emphasis on cost containment in healthcare. This is in the 80s where things started changing, okay? There was a change in that. And as things developed, the clinical administration of therapy led to strategies to administer infusion therapy. Okay, I said that one thing about just having the clear coat bandage for the IV, but this is something where they said, wait a second, we got to figure out something that's more cost effective and something that's going to work just as well. But as I always say, is that the it's a lot less expensive as far as the actual cost. It's a safer environment, but this was really right at the 1980s, and that's where we're talking about the change in the paradigm as far as the healthcare delivery system. Those are it. Okay, you are listening to Health Matters, and my name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare, and I have Hannah Plummer, the Director of Patient Service in New York City. And when we come back, we will be talking more about other places, about why things are performed in the home as far as IV therapy.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Wild Baby Love. Start your Sunday with me at 6 a.m. and Gospel Tracks with great music, interviews, and the inspirational thought of the week on WTBQ, radio worth listening to, with yours truly, Walt Baby Love.
Hi, I'm Pat O'Dwyer. Join me on the Friday Roundtable for a provocative look at politics and the people in our Hudson Valley community on the Friday Roundtable at 9 a.m. on WTBQ.
WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell from A&T Healthcare, and we're having a very in-depth program. We have Hannah Plummer, the Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare, out of our New York City office. Hannah, you're still there, correct? Hannah? Oh, I hope he's still there. I don't know. Did I lose Hannah by any chance? Did I lose Hannah? I don't hear from him. Maybe he'll be calling back. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, did he? Okay.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. I hear you now. I feel like, what was that? What was that, the Verizon commercial? You hear me now? Yeah. I moved to different seats to see if it was going to help.
Okay.
But okay, good. I'm glad you're there. I was. This is a technology. This is a technology. You have to live with it and go with it. One of the important things to know is that I was talking about in the home, but home infusion has been proven to be a safe and effective alternative to inpatient care for many diseases and therapies. And it's always important that the individuals that are providing this, that they are trained properly, that they are, you know, knowledgeable of the techniques as far as doing it, or just more so as far as monitoring. As we said, several of the different lines that you have, that has to be done in the OR. It's not something that can be done at the bedside. However, once it is there, you have to have that monitoring knowledge of it. And that is something that you do, Hannah, as far as like seeing the patients?
Oh, yes. If we're talking about like central line and PICC lines, we do what's called line maintenance in the home. Let's say if they're getting their therapy for, let's say, 6 weeks, then that dressing has to be changed at least once a week. And the extension set for the IV tubing, and that has to be changed also once a week, including the injection cap.
Okay, no, but that's something that you've been trained in, and that's what's always important.
You have to be certified in doing that, so you have to take a special class that you get a certification when you're done, and which includes continuing education credits, and then you will be able to perform that procedure.
Yeah, I know. It's always wonderful working at A&T Healthcare. It's a great organization. And we had a Labor Day party, and one of our Ann's brother's father-in-law, and he was one of our patients, and he received it. He said, "Oh, it was so great. I love it." He liked. Joan Sherman was actually the nurse who was taking care of him on it, and he just couldn't say enough good things about it. I said, "Yeah, now imagine if you were in a hospital." It's always fun when you have a conversation with someone that's had the care from A&T Healthcare, and I just remember saying to him, but imagine being in the hospital. I mean, really, just eating the food alone would be a deterrent as far as not wanting to stay in the hospital longer, never mind about all the problems as far as any kind of infectious disease. Kind of, can you tell me something as far as, you know, we talked about the different diseases that, you know, patient may have, like cellulitis, which is so terrible. You know, it's the inflammation of the skin. We said sepsis and all the different forms where sepsis, that's an infection of the blood. We talked about, you know, like cancer and chemotherapy. But is IV, home IV infusion, that's even highly specialized. There could be a specific disease that they would be treating. Like, these are the main players, but are there other diseases that really are, you know, not in the forefront, or I don't know if that's the right word to use, but one that is not as common that they are able to benefit from home IV infusion?
Well, there's a disease called Gaucher's disease.
Gaucher's, okay.
Gaucher's,
tell
yeah.
us about that one.
Well, boy, yeah,
I remember
one,
that from nursing school. Okay, I'm sorry.
They're missing an enzyme that allow their body to metabolize fats. Before that medications came about, these fat cells would deposit in different organs. So now there's a couple of medications on the market that we give by IV therapy, one called Cerezyme, and there's another one called VPRIV that we administer. These patients get these medications averagely on once every 2 weeks.
Okay, so but that's all part of like how, you know, the specialty as far as, you know, what's available as far as like the treatment of patients.
Also the IV IG are for people with low immune system. They get their medication on average once every 3 weeks. So usually they get a peripheral line started. And, you know, after, but the nurse has to administer the medication and monitor the patient while this medication goes in, as compared to if they were getting an antibiotic where they could self-administer, you teach them to self-administer. Mm-hmm. These medications, the nurse would sit by and monitor the patients until the medication is all completed, and then we'll take the line back out.
Yeah, no, and that's something that happens a lot of times with the families, that they get taught, you know, how to do this, you know, if there's a problem, you know, there's a lot of this, yeah, you know, particular education, you know, particularly if someone's getting, you know, IV therapy maybe three or four times a day or something, doesn't mean that the nurse is going to spend all day just doing something that takes like 5 minutes.
Right, like someone with an antibiotic that's getting more than once a day, we would teach them, and then there are user-friendly devices that they can have, like the IV pumps you mentioned before.
Yes.
Those pumps can be ambulatory. Usually they will have an attachment on the pump called an anti-siphon valve that will prevent the medication from backing up, mm-hmm, and allow them to be mobile. And they have some pumps that are, there's no electricity involved, no batteries, which we call home pumps, which are really like a balloon that squeezes the medication out over a certain period of time, like an hour or half an hour.
Wow, so that's all like part of the technology. I know we talked about, you know, one of the major things about with hospitals, again, you're listening to Health Matters, and this is brought to you by A&T Healthcare, but we were talking about like the proficiency, that you're knowledgeable, you're good at doing it. I remember in my days in the hospital, going back, and probably on about the 80s or something like that, late 80s, but they used to have what is called an IV therapy team, and I think that's what you were on, Hanif. Is that correct, what you said at the beginning?
Yes, part of an IV team.
That's right. And I remember when they had to cut costs, that was the first one that...
The first thing to go,
first thing that was gone.
Yeah.
And who had to do it then?
And the nurses on the
floor. Nurses had to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was what, you know, it took me a while, you know, and as I said, it's something that, you know, people are very proficient. Like when I did it, you always have to be very meticulous. And as I said, any kind of an IV, anything that is inserted into your skin or what have you, there is always a risk of an infection. And that's why you have to have like aseptic technique. You have to be proficient at what you're doing. More importantly, you have to say, hey, is there something wrong that's going on? You have to always be able to make that particular assessment. And that's what I think is something that, you know, we have to, you know, remember. And that was interesting. So what happened when they got rid of the IV team, Hanif? Then you went to another area of nursing? Or?
Correct, yes.
I've
done home care from the beginning. I did home care and hospital together.
Yeah, yeah.
But I liked home care a lot, so that's why I stuck with home care.
And as I said, home care, you're by yourself. I did work on the nursing floor. I didn't just do infection control, but I always remember when I was working on the floors, hey, excuse me, could you come over here? Could you check this? I don't know. Could you check this pulse? Even I sometimes do it now when I do the employees' screening that we do for the the annual assessment. And, you know, sometimes I have trouble with the pulse or blood pressure. I'll walk over. Assume you want to check this blood pressure and stuff. There's always someone there. But that was the one difference when you were in home care, was that home care, you were by yourself, but then you'd always have another call. You know, you could call your physician or something like that.
Right, yes.
Hanif, I cannot thank you enough. You are so knowledgeable of this particular subject.
And I
appreciate you so much for coming on our show. You really have a wealth of knowledge, and you're able to share it with our listening audience. Did you have fun, Hanif?
I had
a lot of fun, okay?
Yes.
I'm very biased, but I had a lot of fun. But now, Hanif, would you be available another time, you know, to be a guest on our show?
Sure, yes, I will.
Okay, no, that's great. That's what's always important. Again, we listen to Hanif Plummer, he's the Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare in the New York City office. Okay, well, Hanif, all the best, and thank you so much, and we'll talk soon. Thank you again.
Okay.
Bye. All right, I can't believe we're just about out of time. Please like us on Facebook. It's always important that you like us on Facebook. And keep remembering us. And as I always say, we're going to end the show, to you, your family, and friends, I wish you all the best, and see you next week on Thursday, okay? Health Matters. My name is Peter Fowler from A&T Healthcare. Have a good one, or make it a good one.